All right, 1 Kings chapter number 19. Would you stand with me as we read the Word of God, 1 Kings chapter 19. Let's begin reading in verse number 19. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." And he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Father, we thank you for your love for us. I thank you for the privilege we have to open the Word of God. I thank you for the decisions that have been made already this week. Now, Lord, I pray that we wouldn't pack it in and pack it up, but I pray that right now we would open our minds and our hearts to the Word of God, and may we take the truths of the Bible and may we apply them to our hearts. Father, I ask that you would empower me. I pray that you'd touch my mind, that I may think right, my heart, that I may be right, my mouth, that I may speak right. I need you this morning. I can do nothing. And Holy Spirit, would you do your job of convicting and convincing? And I ask this the only way I know how, through the name and through the blood of my Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. The passage we just read is a unique passage. Well, I mean, for several reasons. First of all, you have two men with so identical names. You have a man named Elijah, and you have a man named Elisha. Now, I don't know, the Bible doesn't give us a very good description on how these men looked. I really have no idea about that. But when I think of men's men in the Bible, I think of men like Elijah and Elisha. You know, I have an idea, I have a picture in my mind that they probably look similar to the description of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, you'll read about his description of wearing camel's hair. In other words, that's what his clothes were made out of. And I would think, man, that's got to be scratchy and itchy and smelly. And that's kind of the idea I have when I come to Elijah and Elisha. And then, yeah, you read about John the Baptist, and what does he eat? Well, he eats locusts and wild honey. And I think, man, you got to be a pretty tough guy to, shoo away the bees to get the honey out. I don't mean, I don't know if he's a beekeeper or what, but I think, man, John the Baptist, you know, man's man. Well, I don't know what Elijah and Elisha look like. I don't know much about their description, but that's at least the image I have when I come to the two men, Elijah and Elisha. If you get it confused, and if you can keep the story straight of which one goes with which, it's easy to remember alphabetical order. So Elijah comes before Elisha, all right, if that can help you. So you read about the two men in the Bible. You read about the older man, Elijah. He has been serving God. God has blessed his ministry, but now he is preparing for his time to be done. He's preparing for what happens after he is gone, and God is going to use him to train a younger preacher. So here's what happens. He walks through a field where he meets a guy named Elisha. Now, Elisha's in the field, and Elisha's working for his father. And in the storyline that we just read, you find that Elijah, he takes off his mantle or his coat or his cloak or his outer garment, and he takes it and he puts it on the shoulders of the younger man named Elisha. And then the older man walks away. Now, that wouldn't mean much to us today. We would think, ugh, wearing somebody else's coat. Seems like I shopped at Goodwill. I don't know. But here's the deal. It meant something in the Bible. It meant something very important. You see, the coats and the cloaks and the garments in the Bible were particular to people in the Bible. You'll read about several of those things when you get to the New Testament specifically, but also in the Old Testament. You read about Joseph's coat of many colors. It's very descriptive. You read about the coats that Paul, who used to be named Saul, would hold at the stoning of Stephen. You would read about the robe or the coat or the cloak of Jesus at the cross. Well, it's very particular to whoever wears it. You could see them from a distance. You knew their style of coat or their color of coat, and you could tell who was coming. So for someone to take one of their identifying marks and put it on someone else, it was a big deal. And it seems like the younger man, Elisha, he knows what it means. So as he is plowing with the yoke of oxen, the older man walks away, and the younger man eventually will go and follow him. But you know what's interesting to me? Why God would even choose to use the man named Elisha? Get this, God doesn't have to use anybody. God is big enough and great enough to do what He wants to do. And by the way, you can't stand in His way. However, the God of the Bible wants to use you. He invites you to walk with Him, for Him to work through you. That's the God of the Bible. And the only life worth living between now and when you get to heaven is a life that simply follows God. When you go into this passage, you read about the two men. You read about the one man who's seen God do incredible things, and the younger man who has not necessarily seen God do a lot of things, at least in comparison of what he will later see. You will see that God does such a work through the younger man after the older man goes to heaven. You'll see that he will do twice as many things as the older man once the older man goes to heaven. So you read about the two men in the Bible, and as you read about them, you read about several different aspects on why God would even choose to use the younger man named Elisha, and I think we need to look at it this morning. I think it'll be a help to you. Notice what the Word of God says in chapter number 19, in verse number 19. The Bible says this, "So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat." Now, how would you like to have a dad whose name was Shaphat? I would think, seriously? I'm glad I call him Dad. And I hope none of my friends ever find out his name. Have you seen recently some of the different names people give people? I'm like, why would you even name your kid that? I knew a kid, his name was Justin. His last name was Case. I heard about a kid recently. We were in a church, and the pastor's wife, she worked in a doctor's office where ladies who have just had babies would come in and kind of like a extra care for mothers and babies. And she said, we had a mother come in, and she said, yes, what's your baby's name? She said, his name is Arangelo. She said, excuse me? She said, his name's Arangelo. She said, can you spell that for me? And she proceeded to spell orange jello. She said, I saw it on a package in the store, and I thought Arangelo was a cool name. And so for the rest of the life, this kid is named after orange jello. Well, I read about a man named Shaphat, and I think, oh, come on now. But you have to understand, although you don't read much about Shaphat, you read enough to know that he is a wealthy man. He is a respected man. He is a man that has quite a number of fields, so it seems. And if you had fields and oxen in the Bible, and if you had servants in Bible times, you were well off. Things were going good for you. You worked hard. Who knows, maybe you got a little bit of inheritance from your parents, but then you just multiplied on that. God has blessed his life. And now he has children, at least one by the name of Elisha. And Elisha, he's not sitting back on his daddy's money. He's actually working. You find Elisha in the fields of his father, Shaphat, and he is plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. Then the Bible says, and he with the 12. Now, I have really struggled with this, and I thought, this doesn't make sense to me. How can you plow with 12 yoke of oxen, and how do you plow with the 12? Well, there are several different ideas here. Either he has 12 different men who have a yoke of oxen, 11 different men with yoke of oxen that are under him. You realize what a yoke is? A yoke is something that would go between cows to keep them together as they're pulling the plow through the fields to till up the ground. So you can have plows with yokes that have more than two cows. And you'll see that in Bible times. In fact, if you go across America, you will still see people that use yokes. Now, they don't use them so much with cows anymore. Now, you'll find some people that choose to live in kind of the past, they will use them with horses. Now, not too long ago, I saw a farmer. He was actually using yokes. He was actually using a wooden cart to throw hay up onto, and he had six horses with a six yoke across all his horses. So he's driving six horses, you know, six white horses when she comes. He's driving six horses with a yoke. So I don't know if that's similar to what it is described here in the Bible. If there are 12 different men, and the last one being Elisha, and they all have their own group of oxen, I think that's very possible. In other words, Elisha would be working, but he would also be kind of like a foreman overseeing things for his father. But he's not sitting on the sideline drinking sweet tea. He's still working in the fields. So you have 12 men in the field, so it seems, at least 12 yoke of oxen, and the oxen are moving through the fields and the plows are tearing up the ground. That's one idea. The other idea is this. Remember how I mentioned you had six horses and one yoke? It's possible to have more than one cow or more than two cows in a yoke. So it is also possible when you read the scriptures and when you study history and culture of the day, it's possible that he had 12 yoke of oxen under his leadership. In other words, you had a yoke here, a yoke here, a yoke here, a yoke here, a yoke here. You had 12 of them. And if you just consider two oxen per yoke, how many cows do you have? 24. Brother Glenn, we didn't come to camp to do math. 24 cows. So maybe he's in charge of two and overseeing, or maybe he is good enough at a plow. And I've seen something like this before where the guy is good enough in handling a farm implement or instrument that he can do some incredible things all at once. Can you imagine how much land you would get plowed up if you had 24 cows, 12 yoke of oxen? I mean, that probably would stretch maybe just a little bit farther than this building. Whatever the case, however it's designed, whether he has 24 cows or whether he has two and the others have more, whatever the case, he is working. He's responsible. Young person, a lot of times we hear preaching about you need to serve God when you get older. You need to do great things for God, and God wants to use you. Hey, all of that may be true, but if you can't serve God now, don't expect God to use you later.
That's right.
Young person, some of you, you just sit and warm a pew on Sunday morning. You didn't even make it in time for Sunday school. Some of you, you aren't doing anything in the church. Some of you aren't telling anybody about Jesus. It's a struggle for you just to open your Bible. And listen, I'm not trying to be mean, but I will say this. If you want God to use you later, you have to be all in now. In other words, I'm going to serve God now. I'm going to do what God wants me to do now. And we've heard already this week, hey, be in the Word. Hey, be in church. Hey, you need to apply God's Word to your life. You need to listen to what God says and choose what God says. Just obey Him. Follow Him. Be willing to do anything, obedient in everything. And you say, oh, yes, that's what I want to do. Not later, friend. Now. Right now. You say, I'm a kid. What can kids do? You say, I'm not a kid. I'm a teenager. All right, sometime you need to crack your Bible and you need to look at the teenagers in the Bible that God used. God used teenagers in the Bible, whether it was a king or whether it was somebody fighting a giant. God used teenagers all throughout the Bible, and God can use you now. Young person, don't wait till later. Be responsible now, not just in choosing to serve, but then being responsible where you're told to serve. If you went back home and you went to your pastor and you said, hey, listen, can I do something for God? And he said, sure, clean the bathroom. You know what? That bathroom better be as clean as it can be if you're doing it for God. And then be responsible. Oh, yeah, I did it for about 4 weeks and then I got tired of it. I gave it up. I tried that. Hey, Elisha, he's working. It's evident his father is well off, but Elisha's not sitting back. He's saying, hey, listen, I've got a job to do. Evidently, he was faithful enough in the job that his dad made him in charge of all the others that were also in the fields. That's pretty incredible. Some of you aren't even responsible enough to take care of the cat when your parents tell you to. They say, okay, Brother Glenn, that's a little harsh. No. Here's the deal. Can you be responsible in little things? Because God's clear. You will not be made ruler over big things until you are faithful in the little things. You go to the passage and you read about Elisha. However he is plowing in the field, he's plowing. He's working. He's being responsible. But then notice what happens when you go to the next part of the verse. Verse number 19, the end of the verse. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. We've already talked about what's happening here. The old man, he comes over, he puts his coat on him. And Elijah, I don't know what all's happening in his mind. I don't know if he has already recognized this man, maybe recognizes his coat, I don't know. But whatever the case, he knows, whoa, something just happened and this is significant. Because notice what happens in the next verse. Verse number 20. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah. You say, okay, so what? Okay, think with me, all right? I mean, just use your imagination. Are you with me? Okay, so here you have Elisha. Obviously, he is younger than the older man. I'm not trying to be mean, but I think you understand what I'm saying, okay? He is younger than the older man. The older man comes up to him, and he puts his coat on him. And then the older man walks away. How fast do you have to run? I'm not trying to be mean. How fast do you have to run to catch an old person? Are you with me? I mean, I've seen some of you this week, and my granny who walks around with a walker moves faster than you. So maybe you're having trouble understanding, all right? Now, here's the idea. As you get older, I'm being kind, you get slower. Okay? I'm slower than some of you are. Okay, you get the idea. And I'm not that old. Old people move slower than young. Then why in the world would a young man have to run to catch the old preacher? You want to know why? Because he didn't just stop mid-plowing and say, whoa, no way, I am going to be the next man of God. Sorry, can't plow anymore. See ya. That's not what happens. What happens? He finishes his row. Maybe he finishes the field. I don't know. But if he has to run fast enough to catch the preacher, when the old man, I'm trying to be respectful, the older man has walked away and he has to run, what was he doing in the time the older man walked away? He was still being responsible. When a greater opportunity in our minds comes along, it does not give us an excuse to leave our responsibilities. when serving God becomes about looking for the bigger and better, you have long since stopped serving God. And so the preacher here, he puts his coat on the younger man. He walks away. The younger man probably says, "Whoa, something just happened. But I have to finish. I have to take care of what I'm supposed to take care of. I'm still going to be faithful. I'm still going to do what's right. I'm not giving up what I know to do is right to go do something better." And by the way, young person, when you have been serving and then you're given more responsibilities or more opportunities to serve, don't stop just doing what's right. You say, "Listen, I'm becoming so busy for God, I don't need to read my Bible." And you're too busy. "Do you not know who I am? They have asked me to help out in the nursery. I don't need now to obey mom and dad." Do you get the idea of the very easy illustrations? We say, "Whoa." No, no, no. Still be responsible. And then, when he's still being responsible, it seems like he leaves his cows in someone else's possession to take care of the responsibility. He's not saying, "Not me anymore." He's saying, "Hey, listen, watch this for me. I'll be back." Then he runs, and some of you, an opportunity comes along for you to serve God, and you know you need to do it in obedience to God. And then you say, "Nah, not me. Or I think I'll take my time." Or, "What, the pastor wants me to clean the bathroom? Are you kidding? I was talking about singing special music, not clean the bathroom." Now listen, when God says this and this plus this, then you say, "Yes." Hey, listen, just follow God. You say, "I don't know if I can do all of that." You can't. We've heard that this week. You can't do all of it, but he can. Follow him. So the young man here, Elisha, says, "I'm going to be responsible, and God has called me to do this. This is God." And when God says do this, don't say no. You say, "How do you know that?" Because notice what happens. He runs after the older man. And in the end of verse number 20, he says, let's go back to the beginning of verse number 20. "And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, 'Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee.' And he said unto him, 'Go back again, for what have I done to thee?'" I love this. Here's what happens. The younger man finally catches the older man. I don't know how long it takes. And he says, "Hey, I'll be right back. I've got to take care of a few things. I'll be right back." And the older man says, "Why are you telling me? I didn't do anything to you." And we would all say, "What? He put his coat on his shoulders?" No, that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, "I didn't call you to do what I wanted you to do." Can I say this in all kindness, young person? Obey God, not man. Let's put it this way. Simple illustration. When God called me to preach, and it took a long time, years, for me to finally take my hands off what God already owns. When I finally surrendered to preach, I said, "Okay, God, I'll serve you. I'll go off to Bible college. I'll prepare." Well, when people started finding that out, they came to me and said, "You're doing what?" I said, "I'm going to Bible college. I'm going to prepare to preach. God's called me to be an evangelist." "What? Tell you what. Let me give you some advice." Be careful about the advice you choose to receive. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety when the counselors are pointing you back to the Word of God. But here's what I was told. But you love graphic design. Tell you what, instead of going off to a strict Bible college, why don't you go off to a Christian college, or at least in name, and here's what you can do. Why don't you major in graphic design? Minor in Bible. That way, if the Bible thing doesn't work out, you can always go back and fall back on graphic design and still have money. Do you see the issue? Yep. that's what God said. Let's help you out. How about you do what God says, but add to it? Do what God says, young person. And some of you, you have your eyes set on what other people say. You should do this. You should do this. Hey, you should follow God.
That's right.
That's what the Bible says. And honestly, you can ask my opinion about something. If you don't follow my opinion, who cares? My opinions are wood, hay, and stubble. One day they'll burn. But the Bible will not pass away. And only following Jesus will last for eternity. So let's follow what God says. Choose to follow. Elisha says, all right, listen. You know what? I've been responsible. I've run not to what the preacher says I should do, but to what God says I should do. And that pleases God. And like we heard this morning, that is good. That is pleasing. That is complete. Wow. And then what? Well, notice what else happens in the verse. You go into verse number 21, and the Bible says this. And he returned back from him. Uh-oh. Wait. Elisha. I thought you were going to follow the preacher. What happened? You're going back on what you... No. He has a purpose. It says, and he returned back from him. And it says in the end of verse number 21, and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. I love this. You know what he did? He killed his cows and he burned his plows. In Bible times, that's huge. You know how expensive cows were? And if you don't have a plow, you can't work your fields, so you can't make money. You say, what's the point? The point is that he said this, I'm not going to keep something that's going to distract me from serving God. This was my old life. God's called me to serve Him. I'm going to go back and I'm going to have an old-fashioned barbecue. Seems like that's what he does. He chops up his oxen. Most of us would say, oh, Elisha, at least give them away to somebody that can use them. But he says, no. I want it made very clear that I'm not falling back on my old life. I'm not falling back on what made me comfortable. I'm not falling back on what I knew. I'm following God. But you know what? You can always replace one. It's hard to replace both cows and plows. He kills his cows. He burns his plows. He has a barbecue there. I wonder if he's broken up the plow and that's what he used to start the fire. I don't know. But whatever the case, everybody came. His servants, maybe the ones that also worked in the field with him, they saw what he did. Maybe they're saying, what in the world? What are you doing? No. I've been responsible. I've run after what God's told me to do. And now... Now I'm going to burn my plows, I'm going to kill my cows, and I'm going to resolve that I'm just going to follow God. No matter who says what, no matter who wants me to do what, I'm just going to follow God. You know, after he burns his plows and kills his cows, you know what he does? He goes back to the man of God. You'll read later on, notice what happens. He says the very end of the passage, "Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him." You know what? Never in Elisha's life do you ever find Elisha going back home. You never find him going back to the old life. You never find him buying another set of oxen and plows. And you never find him. You say, why? Because he said, "I'm going to be resolved that nothing is going to distract me from serving God. I'm going all in." And some of you, maybe God's dealt with you about sin this week. God's dealt with you about some things in your life that don't please him. God has dealt with you maybe about what you've been putting before your eyes. And maybe you say, okay, listen, I am going to, I don't know, do something so I'm not distracted, so I'm not tempted to put filth before my eyes. So, I don't know, I'm going to try harder. No. You try harder without putting up fences, without putting up protection, without putting up some accountability, and eventually you're going to go right back to it. You say, but I want to use a computer. Why don't you put it in the living room where everybody can see it? Yep. By the way, if it's on your phone, you can get filters for your phone. It's worth it. You say, I don't struggle with that. All right, what do you struggle with? What is it that is distracting you from going all in for Jesus? You see, he says in the Gospels that you can choose him or others or other things, but you cannot serve two masters. You can't serve self plus God. You can't serve others plus God. You can't serve things plus God. You can't serve dreams plus God. It's either all or nothing. You cannot serve two masters. Either you hate the one and love the other, or hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The book of Joshua, you'll find this statement. Choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods of your fathers, the Amorites, or you will serve the true and living God. So I ask you, if you had to make a choice today, and you do, what choice would you make? All in, all out. Nah, I think I'll just kind of, you know, ride the fence. I've tried that. It doesn't work. And you read all throughout the Bible of those that rode the fence, you know what they usually ended up choosing? Something opposite from God. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. You read about others that would rather please others and please God. Young person, are you all in or are you all out? God doesn't want middle. He wants your choice. You say, listen, I just don't know if it's worth it. All right, let's ask Elisha. Elisha, I know what's come to the end of your life. Elisha, has it been worth it? I think he would say, are you kidding? First thing I ever saw, I saw the preacher taken up in a fiery chariot into heaven. Who else saw that? I saw this miracle after this miracle. I saw this person raised. I saw God do this. Are you kidding? Is it worth it? Yeah, I'd burn my plows and kill my cows again. How about you? First of all, I ask you this. Are you willing to go all in? If you are, will you choose to be responsible? If you're willing to go all in, will you choose to run toward God, not things, not people? If you're all in, will you be resolved to eliminate the things that are distracting? I don't know what all that means for you. But what is it that's keeping your heart, keeping your mind from going all in for Jesus? Young person, are you all in? Maybe some of you need to make a decision today to just say, listen, I don't care what it takes, I'm going to be all in for Jesus. Maybe some of you need to say, hey, listen, there are some distractions I need to get rid of. I remember standing at a campfire in West Virginia. We had a big teen crusade. In that teen crusade, we saw many, many come to Christ, and we saw many young people who had already trusted Jesus for heaven deal with sin so they could walk with God. And I remember standing at a campfire, maybe more like a bonfire, and a teenage boy coming up, and he had a belt. And on that belt, probably a 36-inch waist, the belt that he was holding was full of CDs. And he said, listen, he said, you know, it may seem simple to you, but the thing that has distracted me from going all in for Jesus is my music and my video games. I want to follow Jesus. And he threw it in the fire. I thought, good night. That's a lot of money. About five people later, I saw a kid come up to me. He said, Brother Glenn, you see this right here? I said, yeah. He said, that's my phone. I said, yeah, I see that. He said, I'm tired of this. I said, where'd you get it? He said, my parents bought it for me. I said, okay. He said, they said I could do with it what I wanted to. I said, okay. He said, Brother Glenn, on this phone right here is filth. I said, really? He said, yep. He said, I've tried to control it and I can't. It's keeping me from walking with God. Excuse me, Brother Glenn. And he got in line at the bonfire, and I stood there in amazement as he took his phone and he said, I'm going to choose God. Threw it in the fire. And in my own mind, I thought, oh, come on now. Can't we just put good stuff on the phone? But the young man said, no, I can't handle it. God must come first, and I'll do whatever it takes to follow God. Young person, I'm not telling you that you need to do this and you need to do that. What I am saying is you have a choice to make. Will you follow God all in, or are you all out? If you're riding the fence between the two, it's very clear from the Scriptures, you're out. God says, all in. Will you? Choose you this day whom ye will serve.